Jonah chapter 4, and let's stand together, verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" We're in verse 9 of chapter 4. And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow."
Amen.
"Which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh?"
Amen.
"That great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle."
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
The book ends with a question.
Amen.
It goes unanswered. But I think we know the answer.
Amen.
The question is, will we learn what the Lord has for us here in these verses? Let's pray together. Father, I need you tonight. We need you this evening.
Amen.
I ask that you please enable me to preach thy word.
Yes, we pray.
Lord, your word is truth. We know that. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in John 17.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, "Thy word is truth."
Amen.
And I pray as your word goes forth, we'd receive it as it is, not the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Please, I pray that you'd bless the message. Use it to stir us, Lord, to challenge us,
Amen.
To examine ourselves as we ought to.
Amen.
So please bless. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When Jonah chapter 4 began, the Bible tells us that God's prophet, Jonah, was mad. Look what it says, Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Here was a man that knew God. Here was a man that was serving the Lord. That was a child of God. Mad. Angry at God for what God was doing. You know, we look at that and we say, "Wow, that's horrible." Really? How about us?
Amen.
We can be angry as well.
Amen.
You ever been angry at God? Stop. Don't lie now. We can get that way.
Right.
Why in the world would this man, this Jonah, this child of God, this man who we know from 2 Kings was a preacher for God, why was he angry? Well, we're told why. We don't have to wonder.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. We read in the middle of the verse, "Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God."
Amen.
"And merciful."
Amen.
"Slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil."
Praise the Lord.
That's odd too. Jonah knew that God was a gracious God. Jonah knew that God was a merciful God. Jonah knew that our God was a God that was slow to anger and of great kindness. And he knew that if the people of Nineveh would have repented as his preaching and turned to God, that God would repent of the evil that he set out to do to them. He knew that.
Amen.
And it made him mad. You know what's interesting about this is while Jonah was certain how God would respond to their repentance, the Assyrian, the Ninevites' repentance, do you know that the people of Nineveh were not? Look at chapter 3 and verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? They weren't sure. See, they were polytheistic in their theology. They worshipped false gods. They worshipped the god of Asher, and they had a god named Sin. If I had a god, I wouldn't name him Sin if I had a false god. But they did. He was the moon god, Ishtar, the goddess of the crescent moon. Anyway, we better move on. Shamash, the sun god, Anu, Bel, all of these false gods they worship, and their religious ceremonies consisted primarily of offering morning and evening sacrifices, and they were done primarily to appease the anger of the gods. They never knew how God would respond, their false god. They could only hope for the best.
Amen.
So to think of a God who, if they simply repented, that would repent of the evil, that was unheard of to them. But not to Jonah.
Amen.
And by the way, not to you and I either.
Amen.
You and me. We know Jonah knew that if they repented, that God would forgive them. And again, it made him mad. Jonah knew Psalm 86 and verse 5. And no doubt, David, the king, David penned it. That was centuries before Jonah. Psalm 86, 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Amen.
So, after Jonah did what he was supposed to do, entered into the city of Nineveh, as we read in chapter 3, preached God's message. He then goes out of the city in chapter 4. He marches up on a hill to view the city. He sits down in the blazing sun on that hill. He builds himself a booth and he waits to see what God's going to do as he's seething in his anger. I think I kind of know what he was hoping God would do. I think inside of him he was hoping, I hope their repentance wasn't real. I hope that God judges them. I hope as I sit up here, I could see the billows of God's judgment and the smoke ascend from the fire and brimstone. I hope that happens. He had a bad attitude. So God sends a gourd, a worm, a wind, and the sun to teach Jonah a lesson.
Amen.
What is that about? Well, we dealt somewhat with it last week. The gourd was that thing after Jonah's booth wilted in the sun and he was hot and the sun was scorching him. God prepared this gourd that came over him and it shaded Jonah and it brought him temporary happiness. And the Bible said that he enjoyed that shade and he was happy. Then the next day, God prepares a worm, and that worm goes and he eats that gourd, it destroys that gourd. Now Jonah's sad. And then a vehement east wind and the sun causes Jonah to faint. And Jonah is ready to die. He wishes himself dead. And so he is angry. So he's angry even more. He starts out angry. Then he gets happy because of the gourd. And then he gets angry again.
Amen.
And God's going to use this situation and these circumstances to teach Jonah a lesson. It's a lesson, I believe, that's clear from the verses I just read.
Amen.
A lesson that I believe that you and I need to learn.
Amen.
Not just once.
Amen.
But again and again and again. You say, why is that? Because of our sin nature.
Right.
What about you? But I need to learn things over and over again.
Amen.
I need to be reminded of things again and again. By the way, that's why church is so important. That's why preaching is so important. That's why Sunday school is so important. Why? Because it reminds us of things that we need to be reminded of again and again and again.
Amen. Amen.
What's the lesson tonight? Here it is. And here's the title. Jonah's lesson from God is this. God wants him to see the lost as God sees the lost.
Amen.
And that's the lesson for us tonight.
Seeing
the lost as God sees the lost. Do you see him the way God does? You know, I want to say I do. But if I think about it long enough, I realize most of the time I don't. You know, there's one thing that every child of God struggles with, every one of us at one time or another, bar none, it is for us to see the lost as God sees the lost.
Amen.
You know, Jesus Christ had to deal with this very problem with his disciples. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 9? Let's go there. We'll come right back here to Jonah chapter 4. But go to Luke chapter 9, and I think you'll understand. This is really, in my opinion, the New Testament lesson of Jonah. Notice Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It came to pass when the time was cometh that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. So here it is. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He goes through a place with his disciples who, mind you, are Jews. And they come upon this place where there's Gentiles, where there's Samaritans. And they did not receive him. And guess what happened to the disciples? Like Jonah, they got mad. Notice in verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? I'd imagine there was a little smile on their face when they said that. Lord, you saw what they did. They rejected you. They didn't want you. Can we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did that will consume them? Let's read on. We read verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, the disciples had no problem giving the gospel to the Jews. They had no problem giving the gospel to the seed of Abraham, to the lost sheep of Israel. But when it came to giving that gospel and caring and having compassion and love for the Samaritans or for the Gentiles or having a burden for them, that was a different story. They didn't want to do it. They had the same spirit that Jonah had, and it's the same type of spirit that you and I can have at times as well.
Amen.
I don't like to admit that.
Amen.
But it's true. Let's go ahead back to Jonah chapter 4 and see how God deals with this man Jonah to teach him a vital lesson about his attitude towards the lost. Notice, first of all, number one, the justification Jonah claims. It's interesting. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? God asks him a question.
Amen.
He says, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Jonah was angry. Jonah was mad. Jonah didn't like the fact that God was going to spare the Ninevites. And Jonah responds by this. He says, imagine this. I do well to be angry. Even unto death. You know, you'd think with all that Jonah had gone through, he went through a lot. The storm, the whale, and all of that. You'd think he'd be a little more humble. You'd think he'd be a little more submissive to God. You think he would have said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. But instead, watch this. He tries to justify his attitude. I do well to be angry. You see, God was trying to fix a particular area of life that Jonah didn't want to fix.
Amen.
You ever been there?
Right.
There was something in Jonah's life that God wanted to deal with, and Jonah did not want to fix it. God was trying to change Jonah's attitude towards the Ninevites.
Amen.
But Jonah wasn't budging. So why would Jonah think it was okay to have this attitude towards the Ninevites? Jonah hated them. He absolutely hated them. Why? Because the Assyrians were Israel's enemies. Do you know that the Assyrian Empire grew to a large, large empire over 400 years, 1700 to 1100. When Ashurnaspinal, try that one three times quick, came to power in 883, he turned the Assyrian Empire into a literal fighting machine. He pushed westward to the Mediterranean Sea. He pushed the empire northward to the mountains of Armenia. History tells us that he used ruthless cruelty to conquer his enemies. His son, a man by the name of Shalmaneser, not the same Shalmaneser in 2 Kings 17. This was Shalmaneser 3. That would be Shalmaneser 5. But Shalmaneser 3 inherited his father's gigantic fighting machine, and he conducted numerous military campaigns against Syria and against Israel. One of which he fought against King Ahab. By the way, that was just before Jonah's day. Jonah could have had relatives, perhaps a father or a grandfather, that lost their life or their life to the Assyrians. And Shalmaneser would inflict great damage upon his opponents, killing thousands of them, capturing them, conquering them, and ruthlessly torturing them. He wrote of himself on one of the ancient records of Assyria. He called himself the mighty king, the king of the universe, the king without rival, the autocrat, the powerful one of the four regions of the world, who shatters the might of the princes of the whole world, who has smashed all of his foes as pots. That's what he spoke of himself. And these were the people that Jonah was commanded by God to go and preach to. But Jonah felt that his hatred for these people was justified. God's going to teach him that it wasn't.
Amen.
You know that I believe all of us have areas in our lives that we are not willing to yield to God.
Amen.
Oh, we like when it's preached about something that's somebody else's sin. We like when it's something that we're doing and the other person's not. Boy, we amen, praise the Lord, that's right, not our head. But boy, when it hits us, it's a different story. All of a sudden, we, like Jonah, like to justify our actions.
Amen.
Make excuses about what we do. And we'll come up with a million and one excuses to justify our actions.
Amen.
That's nothing less than the spirit of Jonah. You see, we come up with reasons. Well, preacher, you see, I know I could come to church on Sunday night, but you don't understand. I have this obligation or that obligation. Well, go ahead, justify it if you like, but I don't know how those justifications are going to fall before the Lord. We like to say, well, you don't understand, preacher. I just can't tithe, or I just, it's not my personality to hand out tracts. That's not me. I'm not outgoing. I'm a little shy. And to talk to someone about the Lord, you don't understand. It's just not my personality. You name the area. My point is this. It may not be those that I said just a few moments ago, but we all have areas that we try to justify doing wrong in.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. Here in Jonah's case, he's trying to justify his wrong attitude towards the lost. And in particular, not just all lost people, but in particular, the people of Nineveh. You see, to Jonah, his hatred, his attitude of being angry, his desire to see these people judged, was justified in his own mind. But God's going to teach him.
Amen.
And it's not.
That's right.
And our excuses and justifications are the same.
Amen.
If we try to justify something, we really can't.
Amen.
So we see the justification that Jonah claims. Number two, I want you to notice, secondly, the discussion God has. So after Jonah makes his excuse, I do well to be angry even unto death, God begins to engage Jonah in a little lesson. It is a discussion. Notice verse 9, and God said to Jonah, notice, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, notice, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? We'll stop there. God is trying to reason with Jonah. God, in a very tender and compassionate and gracious way, is trying to reason with Jonah about his excuses. He's trying to reason with Jonah about his attempt to justify his anger. You know, Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Can God reason with us about our wrong behavior? He should be able to. And that's what he's doing here with Jonah. God is trying to get Jonah to realize he had a bad attitude, a wrong attitude, an ungodly attitude. I'll say it in the New Testament terms, an unchristlike attitude towards the Ninevites. And so he asks him a question. He says, asks him, instead of asking him, notice what he asked him in verse 4, he simply said, doest thou well to be angry? Now he says this, there's a different emphasis. He says, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And then he says in verse 10, notice, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. What's he saying? Well, what is God trying to show Jonah? Here's what I'm trying to point out tonight. I believe God is trying to reveal two things to Jonah by this discussion with him. The first one is this. God begins by revealing Jonah's pity. You say, what do you mean by that? You know that Jonah was not a man that lacked compassion. He wasn't. He said, thou hast pity on the gourd. In fact, I believe that Jonah was a man full of emotion. I do. I think he was a very emotional man. I think Jonah probably had great zeal for his people. He had great love for the Israelites. I believe he did. I believe he was filled with passion. I believe he was a tender man. I mean, the guy had pity on a plant. He had pity and care for this gourd. You see, Jonah's problem, stay with me now, I'm going somewhere. Jonah's problem was not that he had become lazy, or that he had become complacent, or apathetic. He didn't become cold-hearted. He didn't lose his get-up-and-go. He did not lack sympathy. He did not lack compassion. He did not lack pity. He had all of those things. I believe if Jonah was asked of God to go back to Israel, he would have gladly went. I think if Jonah would have been asked of God, I want you to go back. I want you to preach to the northern kingdom. Continue what you were doing. I think he would have said, sure. I think if Jonah got a call from someone, I know they didn't have phones. I'm using modern day terms. But if he heard that someone in his family had a need or something back in Israel, I think he would have went there. I think he had compassion. I think he had pity. What was his problem then? I'll tell you what it was. Why did God say that to him? That thou, where he says, thou hast had pity on the gourd. You see, God reveals Jonah's pity, but the second part of this thing is that God reveals Jonah's problem.
Amen.
Now stay with me. Jonah's problem was not that he lacked pity or compassion. Jonah's problem was he failed to have pity in an area that God wanted him to have pity the most.
Amen.
For the lost.
Amen.
You see, while Jonah pitied the plant, God pitied the people.
Amen.
You see, here's what I'm trying to say tonight. Jonah did have a good character trait, but that good character trait of pity was directed at the wrong thing.
Amen.
I like what John Butler said, the commentator. He said, Jonah's values were twisted. His affections were distorted. His sympathies were biased. And his perspectives were warped.
Amen.
And I think that's true.
Amen.
Now let me apply it to us. And let me see if I can't clear this up. I believe we're often the same.
Amen.
We're the same as Jonah. You know, I truly believe we have a great church. You've heard preacher after preacher come in and say that. You come in here, I just believe this, and maybe if I don't know any better, then don't mess up my fantasy world, okay? I do. I think we have wonderful people. I think we have people that care for one another. I think we have people that are compassionate, concerned, and pity one another. When we see a need, we jump to it. I think we have a ton of people like that. But the problem is this, is that we lack those same character traits when it comes to the lost.
Amen.
Boy, it got quiet. You know why? Because it's true. I don't think we lack love. I don't. You know, I can say, you just need to love. We do love. I think we have love. I do. I see you all in handshake time. Half the time I can't get you back in your seat within 10 minutes to try to get to preach up here. That's a good thing. It is. I mean, some churches are cold as ice. I've been in them. You can't get an amen. I can't stop some of y'all from amen in here. Amen. You know, it's just the way. I mean, we care. We love for one another. I believe we love our families.
Amen.
I believe we love our church family.
Amen.
I mean, we bring each other meals. When people are sick, we help each other out. I've seen church members mow church members' lawns and not charge a dime. Why is that? Love.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Love.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, it's a good thing.
Amen.
But I think we can come up short when we apply that same love to the lost.
Amen.
It's not in the... It's in. We have it. But there's a place God wants it to be.
Amen.
That it's not where it should be.
Amen.
How many know what I'm talking about? Help me out here. Let me apply this to several places. I believe we have good work ethics. I see some people in our church. They work all week. Deliver mail all day. And they come on Wednesday night after being wet and cold and rushing in here. And they come to church. And I praise God for that. Some of you drive far. You work in places all day. And you work hard. And you feed your family. And you provide a roof over their heads. Man, there's a great work ethic, I believe, in most of the men in our church. Come in when they're tired. They go into work when they're tired. They don't feel like it. They come home and they have to fix things and do things and all of that. But where's that same ethic when it comes to reaching the lost?
Amen.
Hmm.
Good.
It's true. That's why God said, you had pity, Jonah, for the gourd. He didn't say you're complacent. He didn't say you're good for nothing. He didn't say you don't have any heart for anything. He said, Jonah, you have pity. It's there.
Amen.
But you're pitying the gourd.
Right.
You're pitying the wrong thing. And in our case, I'm not saying loving one another is wrong. I'm saying we can invest all our love here and miss the one place, the main place
Amen.
It should be. It's the same with zeal.
Right.
It's true. I mean, talk about something that gets us excited. Food.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing wrong with that. We like to eat. We like to grow our church. That's not the way we're supposed to grow it. More and more Sunday school classes are having donuts, man. Donuts, donuts. All those. It's awesome. Amen. I mean, we get excited about things. We get zealous about things we like to do. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's okay to like the Phillies or the Eagles, and I hate to go down that road. Yeah, I figured that would happen. It's okay to enjoy going on vacations and be excited and zealous about that. Or when you get something new, that's exciting, isn't it? Or when there's some place you want to go, something you want to do. Boy, we get zealous about that.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. But why aren't we zealous about the
Amen.
Lost?
Amen.
Why? Something's wrong.
Oh,
I could go on. We could talk about Jonah's pity. He pitied the gourd. He felt sorry for it. It's kind of odd. Some people, they feel sorry for, you know, little animals that are, you know, that are becoming extinct. And we were in Oxford. They were, this is before they built the Walmart in Oxford. You had to go all the way up to Parksburg to go to the Walmart up there. But they put one in Oxford. I don't think I've ever been in it. But when I was there, they were just talking about that. And Walmart was having just a hard time getting it put in. I mean, they needed it. There was nothing around. You had to drive 15 minutes for everything. There was, at that time we were there, there was one restaurant. It was in, I believe, Avondale Perkins. That was it. And everything else was closed. I mean, the town went down at 5 o'clock. Everything's closed. And so we said, Walmart, praise God for that. But you know what? Walmart for years was delayed putting it in. You know why? Turtles. I'm not kidding you. Turtles. They had a species of turtles that was in the field that they wanted to build the Walmart in. And all of your tree huggers were so concerned about those turtles that they didn't want to disturb their home. And so they had to come up with this whole big deal of relocating them and all this stuff. It was ridiculous. Now you may be sitting here today, tonight, saying, I don't think it's ridiculous. And that's fine. I may have just lost your attention for the rest of the service here. And you may love turtles and think, don't you love animals? I love animals. What I'm saying here is this. We can pity things like turtles. We can pity things like a little puppy that's hurt. We can pity, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But what about our pity for a lost and dying world?
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen.
God help us. So how do we fix this thing? How? Well, let's go to the Bible.
Amen.
Let's see what God said to Jonah. And just maybe what he says to Jonah might bring a little reminder to us. Which leads me to point number three. And that is this. Not only the justification Jonah claimed, the discussion God had, but notice the affection God desires. Look at verse 10. Then said the Lord, Thou hast pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much. God's trying to get Jonah, think.
Amen.
Think for a moment, Jonah. This is a gourd you had pity on.
Amen.
You had pity on the gourd and you didn't labor for it. You didn't work for it. You didn't create it. You didn't do anything there. It doesn't have a soul. It's not made in the image of God.
Amen.
And you're pitying it.
Right.
Here's a man that had pity on something that for in the light of eternity really meant nothing. It was up one day, and it died. Oh, I don't know what Jonah did. Oh, the poor gourd. Oh, the gourd. Oh, what do I do with this? Maybe I'll put it on my mantle. I'll push it between, you know, a book, and I can keep it forever. Jonah, really? Really, Jonah? Really? God's trying to get him to say, here you are, Jonah, you have pity on this gourd, but you don't have pity for people.
Amen.
You see, in the eyes of God, don't miss it, in the eyes of God, the Ninevites were precious to him. Notice, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than 60,000 persons that cannot, he's talking about children here. God is saying to him, Jonah, think about this. I care for people. Ninevites are a people that I created. They are a people that you may not love, but I love. And I've cared for them every single day. I know what's going on there. I provide for them every day. I wash over them. I care for them. This city is great in my eyes.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
About 500,000 people are there, Jonah. And 120,000 little children are there.
Yeah.
And you want me to send fire and brimstone upon it after they repented and turned to me? Yeah, they were evil. Yes, they were wicked, no doubt about it. Yes, they were an idolatrous people. You know, we can have the same attitude. You know, we're okay if a nice guy gets saved. I've seen this happen before, not here, thank the Lord for that. But someone who had a terrible background gets saved. And they get baptized, they get out of the church, and they start growing, and then they start serving the Lord. And I've seen people that have been in the church for years get mad at that. Why are they serving the Lord when I can't? They have a position I can't have. Stop.
Amen.
We're talking about people here. God loved them, and He wants us to realize what you and I need to have concern more about than we do. Yes, it's great to love one another. Yes, it's great to have pity on one another. Yes, it's great to do things for one another. But understand, don't miss the fact there's a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ out there. And yes, they may be voting liberal. Yes, they may not be doing the things that you and I like. And they may be engaged in things as bad as sodomy and same-sex marriage. But God loves them anyway.
Amen.
And He wants them to be saved.
Amen.
Well, I don't think they should be saved. You know, there's a group of Baptists that feel that they sodomites deserve the death penalty. That is wicked.
Amen.
Because you know who deserves the death penalty? All of us.
Amen.
All of us do. And God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, I love these people. I created them. I care for them. And I want them to know the one true and living God just as much as I want anybody else to know me.
Amen.
Because without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in hell.
Amen. Right.
You see, the lesson of the book of Jonah, it's very simple. God loves everybody.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Not just the ones we like.
Amen.
But everybody.
Praise the Lord.
He loves all people. He's concerned for all people. And He wants all people to be saved.
Praise the Lord.
God's reminding Jonah here that the attitude that we should have to the lost,
amen,
is not anger.
Right.
Don't get angry. Don't hate them.
Don't
be disgusted by their behavior. We don't approve things. I understand that. But we ought to pity them. We ought to pity them. Missionary Darrell Champlin came years ago to Northeast and he did a seminar. And it was very, very moving. I still remember it to this day. He raised his children, and he's with the Lord now, but he raised his children amongst the bush tribes of Suriname, South America. I'm talking about in the bush. Brother Jason understands this kind of thing. And the bush people were known for things like this: witchcraft, animal sacrifices, polygamy, all kinds of evil ceremonies, and cannibalism. Try that. God called him to preach to them.
Amen.
It was asked somewhere along the line, and there was a lot of things he said when he did a series of messages and things. But one of the things that stuck with me was this. He was asked this question, or it came up. How do you keep your children right with the Lord and not getting pulled into that type of stuff? It's all around them. You are the only ones there. It's only your family. How do you do that? Here's what he said. He said, I simply taught them this, that people act this way because they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why.
Amen.
If they introduce them to the Lord, and their behavior will change.
Praise the Lord.
That, my friend, is the attitude we're supposed to have.
Amen.
The attitude of not getting angry at the lost, those that do things that really, in essence, disgust us. But pity them.
Amen.
They need the Lord.
Amen.
And we know how to give it to them.
Praise the Lord.
By telling them about Jesus Christ. Introduce them to the Lord.
Amen.
Have pity on them. Let's beware that we don't have the spirit of Jonah. And that you and I realize that they need Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together.